So hello everyone, and welcome to the Renewable Energy Leaders podcast. Today I have the pleasure of being joined by Bob Wallace, CEO of Biove Energy, Jordan, who is the Vice President of Strategy and Operations, and Natalie, who is the Director of Business Development. I think to start with, it would be good if you could all sort of introduce yourselves and just explain a little bit about your guys' background.
Sure, cool. I think I'll start, Jake. Jordan, should I start, Jordan?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Jake, I'm the old guy in the group. I'm the founder of Biove Energy. Started 2009, 2010. And we are looking at expanding the business from the States, you know, into Central America, Latin America. And we got some pretty exciting opportunities in battery systems and solar systems, and then integrating our workforce development methodology into those areas. So I'm very excited about the future, what we can do. My background is engineering, mechanical engineering, and applied mechanics. I've been working in the industry for over 40 years, more than four decades. So I'm the old guy in the group, but Jordan and Natalie, they're the brains of the group.
Yeah, Bob's the old guy, but he has all the energy, so don't let him fool you. Thanks the energy. So sure, I'll go next. So my name is Jordan Wallace, and yes, Bob is my father. I've actually been with Biove Energy for only about a year now. Even though we started in 2009, we're kind of doing a rebranding and relaunch for some new services this year. My background is mechanical engineering, but prior to Biove Energy, I was a data scientist. I worked for Meta in Capital One doing data analytics and data science. And so I've been at Biove Energy trying to build out the energy data science sector, as well as some of our international renewable energy development systems as well. So as Bob said, we're moving into Colombia, Panama, Puerto Rico. We do currently do work in different parts of Africa on the workforce training and renewable energy system development side. So we're really trying to take what Biove Energy has been doing for the past 15 years and globalize it over the next 2 to 3 years.
My name is Natalie. I'm the Director of Business Development for Biove Energy. I've been here for a little bit over a year. I started at the same time as Jordan. My goal with Biove Energy is to bring us into giving us the opportunity to bring in new markets, identifying different opportunities. I have a background in international business. And fun fact is that I am Colombian. So my hope is to bring some of the projects that we're developing here down there, helping with some understanding of the markets there, and hopefully, you know, providing a solution that makes sense down in South America.
Great stuff. And thank you guys for introducing yourselves there. I suppose a good place to start would be to talk about the history of Biove Energy and why you guys were founded. So I suppose I'll hand over to you there, Bob.
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, Jake, the actual seed for Biove Energy was planted really back in the 60s, the 1960s. Like many people around the world, I was raised in poverty, raised in a place where there was scarce resources, you know, food and economic and housing and just a desert of needs that were not provided. So what I have found is not just in the States, but throughout the world, is that societies tend to put at risk its most at-risk part of the population as it pertains to where they put issues, where they put technologies and systems that are used to remove waste. So following that script in South Baltimore, where I was raised, the city decided that it wanted to put a landfill right next to our community. And not only that, they wanted to put a trash incinerator. So as a kid growing up, when we would play baseball and soccer and football, we played it on what turned out to be a landfill. So you see rats running around, and it was a pretty undesirable place. And not only that, but when they would incinerate the trash, we'd be out in the field playing or walking, and the smoke would burn our eyes. And who knows what happened, what's going on internally for us in terms of cancer and other ailments that come from environmental racism, environmental classism, if you will. And so I decided at a young age that I was going to do something about this. And I didn't know that it would turn into Biff Energy, but I felt that my strength in engineering, my interest in engineering, that there was engineering ways in which we could create an environment where communities would not have to live under these conditions. And so I became an engineer. I started a couple of companies in technology. And I started the company, as Jordan said, Biff Energy, 2009, 2010. With the specific objective of using technology as a way to create carbon reduction systems such that all communities could live in a poison-free and a pollution-free environment. And that, Jake, that was kind of the genesis of Biff Energy. You know, since that time, we've, as Jordan mentioned, we perfected a number of technologies and solutions in solar energy. As Jordan mentioned, in energy data analytics and battery engineering. And we also have a component, Jake, that looks at workforce development in terms of how we train the next generation of energy engineers and technicians and energy workers, such that we can empower communities as we build systems, as we implement technologies, we can build these environments in a way that is sustainable and is sustainable economically. So that the people who live in the communities, like the community I was raised in, so that they can benefit economically and professionally from this investment.
Great stuff. And thank you very much again, Bob, for giving us a background there on why you guys were founded. And you sort of touched on it as well in terms of my next question. Obviously interested to find out a little bit more in terms of the technologies that you guys are currently working on right now.
Absolutely. I'll start and I'll turn it over to Jordan and Natalie. I mean, so we cut our teeth when I was in studying engineering, Jake. We were using and studying technologies in solar energy and offshore wind. We were looking at wave energy. We studied ocean thermal energy, where you look at the differences in temperature in the ocean from the top layers of the ocean to the lower colder layers. All those technologies we looked at. The one that got the traction. That got traction first, of course, was the solar energy area. I mean, we've built over 75 megawatts of solar projects. We do that. We do solar primarily on the utility scale, 1 megawatt or higher. We perfected how we made maintenance and maintain those systems. We've done some financial innovation and engineering that's allowed, which allows us to start looking at building community solar projects, right, where we can implement these solutions. And communities like the community that I grew up in that doesn't have the money to invest in these technologies, but who have the need. And so we've gotten creative in terms of how we finance that. We look at the data analytic area. I'll let Jordan speak more to that. But that's an exciting area where we're looking at decades and decades, in many cases, of energy data that we now can manipulate and use to help provide guidance and strategies for our clients, not only in the acquisition of energy, but in how they manage it and how their energy is managed. And there's power in that data. And that's an area that Jordan is an expert in. The battery side, the battery, we're looking at doing a battery project in Panama, Colombia, where we look at complementing the solar build, the solar installation with the battery system, which allows us to level out the curve so that we can have power. We can provide power to communities, whether the sun is shining or not. So, you know, those are some areas that we really focused on. We think the battery industry is going to be big. It's going to be major. So we're looking at not only the engineering and installation of energy systems, but how do we dispose of batteries? How do we recycle them? How do we build them into the emerging EV charging system, which will surpass what we had to build for the internal combustion era at the turn of the 20th century? So there's a lot of opportunities there, and we're honing our skills in those emerging areas so that we can integrate what we've done in the past and use that to provide future solutions. Jordan?
Sure, I think Bob, you covered a lot of it. I think if you look at the energy life cycle, is what I call it, right? If you look at how energy is you know, developed for the grid or even on microgrids, you know, and it's distributed and then it comes into our homes and our businesses, our goal is to develop solutions for every stage on that energy life cycle. So, you know, when we look at pre-metering, we look at the grid technology, you know, we have solar farms that have been built, we continue to build them, but if, you know, panel efficiency has increased even over the last 2 years, right? Forget to 15 years ago, right? So we're trying to integrate new technologies into our existing offerings, right? If we look at behind the meter, so we're looking at within our homes and our businesses, our main focus is decarbonization, right? So any battery storage, solar, EV, all that rolls into decarbonizing this world, right? A big piece is, as you probably may well all know, artificial intelligence, AI. How are we integrating AI into the things that we offer, right? So integrating AI into building control systems such that, you know, we're able to turn off grid versus solar usage at the correct time to save our clients money, to save energy consumption, right? So a lot of what we're doing now is getting smarter about the things that we've already been doing and integrating new technology and artificial intelligence into those systems that already exist, particularly on the energy production side, on the grid, and then the control side when you're looking at consumption and use. And then, as Bob said, electric vehicle charging is huge, right? You know, I live in California. The company's based in Baltimore, but we're not going to be able to sell gas powered vehicles in the next few years, right? So you know that this revolution of EV vehicles it's here, begun, but it's only going to get larger, right? And so again, continuing to integrate new technology as it develops, and the development is getting quicker and quicker and quicker, right? So we have to continually upgrade systems. It used to be every 5 years, then it was every 2 years. Now it's every 2 months. If you're not changing your systems, you're falling behind. So that's what I would say is just integrating new technologies into the systems that we in the processes that we've already developed over the past, you know, 10 to 15 years.
Great stuff. And I suppose obviously it'd be great to understand, I suppose, what is the business mission for BioEnergy?
Sure.
So go ahead, Jordan. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to clarify. So Jake, the correct pronunciation is Bith Energy.
Bith Energy.
And I know it's confusing. We get that question a lot. So no issues there. You know, our mission is to accelerate the world's transition into, you know, sustainable energy, right? And that's where implementing new technology comes into play. But if you just look around and see some of the natural catastrophes, the climate change that's happening, I mean, at this point, it's pretty much undeniable, right? And so at the crux of our mission, we want to play an integral part or do our part of curbing and hopefully eventually reversing some of the impact of climate change. I would say at its core, that's our mission. And so that's why we don't limit ourselves to just solar, just wind, or just battery. We have all over, you know, the world to see what technology exists, what systems can be put in place that's actually going to have an impactful and meaningful change when it comes to how we consume energy and energy data, and hopefully start to reduce the impacts of climate change.
And I want to add something to what Jordan just said. It is also important for us to have all this wealth of knowledge in regards to the different technologies out there around the world, because the communities we service are so different from one to another, even within the US. So the solutions have to be custom to the actual need in the communities that we serve. So,
right. Yeah, that's a good point, Natalie, because our solutions, as Natalie implied, are specific and unique to the communities that we're servicing. So we, you know, whether we're servicing small villages in Colombia, orphanages in East Africa, universities in West Africa, their needs are specific. And so our solutions are designed to specifically address the needs of those particular communities. And we think that gives us a strategic advantage because one, it puts us in touch with the detailed needs of our client base. And it also helps to build a relationship with them such that we are able to win sustainable business opportunities with these communities over many, many years. We have customers that we've had, Jake, for 15, 20 years, right? And it's not that we didn't have to compete for the business again and again. We did, but we were able to win again and again because of our approach to building relationships and understanding the detailed needs of our clients as we build solutions. So it's not a one solution fits all business model.
Great stuff. And I know you touched on it earlier, Bob, as well, but I know you guys do some fantastic work in terms of that workforce management piece that you mentioned. And it'd be great if you could elaborate on your strategy and, I suppose, implementation of this as well.
Jordan, do you want to take that? And then I'll chime in.
Sure. Yes, great question, Jake. So the genesis of the workforce development piece came in some of our work, you know, in developing areas, both abroad and domestically. But essentially, we saw that companies, ourselves included, renewable energy companies, were coming into these areas, building these systems, and then having to service them over time and provide. So we bring our own workforce, our own you know, engineers, project managers, build a system, try to integrate it into a community, and then we leave. But then we have to either contract somebody or come back to do the operations and maintenance ourselves. Right. And what we realized is that these systems that we were building could be leveraged to also improve the economies of these areas and generate jobs, and generate opportunities for the people who live in these communities. So, and Bob will talk a little bit more about some of the work we've done in West Africa. I've been to East Africa several times in Tanzania, built systems there. But we come into these communities and we basically recruit, you know, high school, college graduates who are looking for opportunities in energy and engineering. We train them to build these solar farms. And sometimes some situations we will actually train on some energy management systems, some software development as well. And then we actually employ them to build out the farms and then train them on operation and maintenance so that once we leave, they can, you know, own and operate these assets themselves. And then that you're keeping that money in that community, right? So it's not just energy being developed, it's economics, an economic opportunity. In certain cases, we'll actually do some entrepreneurship incubators, particularly in East Africa. You know, we were able to leverage some of those microgrids to build out bakeries and sewing shops and actual businesses that, again, we're taking the energy component, building on that, training community members with new skills, new skill sets, and then allowing them and assisting them into launching those skills into entrepreneurial and economic endeavors. And that's kind of the model, right? It's just to utilize existing skills within those communities instead of outsourcing.
Absolutely. And Jake, we first, to Jordan's point, we first used this model over 10 years ago when we built a 1 megawatt solar plant, it was the largest, I believe it was the largest at the time, a solar power plant for a nonprofit in the city of Baltimore. And that was the testing ground for us to apply this business methodology where, like Jordan said, we take the workforce from the community in which we are building, we train that workforce, we provide them jobs to perfect their skills as solar technicians, and then we provide them an opportunity to maintain that asset once the project is building is completed. In addition to job creation, we also, in our model, we look to have a business creation aspect to that. In other words, how can we create or help create or accelerate the creation of energy entrepreneurs, right, in the urban centers, in the rural centers where people are struggling economically? Where can we build not only the jobs, but the energy entrepreneurs? And so every project that we engage in has that component to it. We feel that's part of what our mission is. We feel that, you know, our firm belief that to whom much is given, much is required. And so we have a responsibility, as we have been blessed, to be a blessing to others.
Thank you for that again, from you both. And I suppose, obviously, you know, this is a big thing and a great thing that you guys have implemented in terms of that workforce management. But what else is it that sort of sets you guys apart from other renewable energy organizations out there?
I'll take that one, Natalie, Jordan, first, and you guys can chime in. I think when we pivoted, Jake, so we started in the IT business. So we have an IT company. It's been around over 30 years. We do work in biometrics, software engineering, database engineering, all the IT kind of work. But the model we use in our IT business is a professional services model, right? We took that same professional services model, Jake, and we applied it in our energy business, in the energy sector, which up until that time was pervasive with what I call a construction management model, right? So we're not construction guys and gals. We're engineers and scientists, but we took that professional model of engineering and science and scientists, and we applied it in the energy field. Now, what did that do for us? A couple benefits. Number one, it helped us to better understand the customer's needs. Number two, it helped us to better understand the emerging needs and emerging technologies. And then three, it allowed us to integrate those different areas, the technologies, the needs of the client, into unique solutions that met the needs of the client. That's why we've had so much repeat business, Jay, because we know the client, they trust us, and we help them reimagine and repurpose their businesses with solutions that's going to help them be more competitive. So those three things, Jake, allows us to win repeat business, to open up new territories. And I think we're going to keep applying that same methodology. I don't know, Natalie or George, did you have anything to add to that?
I want to add something else to that. Also, our commitment to the communities we serve is very important, and is the reason why we get a lot of repeat businesses. We make sure that every community that we're part of, we get not only, you know, install a renewable energy system that is reliable, that is cost effective, that is efficient. We also try to improve the community as a whole. As Jordan was saying, if we can implement any kind of entrepreneurial incubators so they can develop their own businesses and have access to, you know, now if they have access to renewable, reliable energy that they didn't have before, they can have access to internet that will allow them to, you know, spark that in terms of business solutions that service their own community. So we look at energy as the door to develop communities, and that's very important to us.
Absolutely.
Perfect. And then finally, it'd be great to understand if you guys have seen any particular trends in that renewable energy market, and I suppose, how are you guys dealing with them?
Yeah,
I'll take that first, Jordan. Sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Jordan, because I have to sign off pretty soon. I'm doing the TV taping.
Yeah, go ahead, Bob.
Studio.
Go first.
But I'm going to sign off. Let Jordan answer that. But I think Jake, I think that as the availability of these technologies accelerates into markets and communities that have historically not benefited from it, we see that as a major, major opportunity. We see the build out of the electric vehicle charging systems throughout the United States and the world is going to accelerate, and it's going to surpass the building of the infrastructure that was necessary to support the internal combustion engine. So if you put on your thinking cap and your creativity cap, you can project what the business opportunities are going to be, what the public private partnership options could be. And so it takes on a whole different dynamic that we're pretty excited about. And because of our relationship with those communities that have been historically been underrepresented and ignored, we feel that we'll be able to accelerate that relationship, accelerate that penetration into those markets that will allow us to be a partner with these communities on a global level. Because if you look at it, Jake, you look at what happened, like Jordan said, what happened in Libya, what happened in Morocco, even though those countries and places maybe were not the ones who created the situation on a global level, but they are being impacted by it. And we're going to see communities and countries that have not contributed to the carbon situation in our atmosphere, but who are taking the brunt of the negative impact. We've got to get to those communities. We've got to invest in them. We've got to help them to overcome the situation. So we hope to be a part of that. So on that note, Jake, I'm going to sign off and leave it to my very, very qualified and intelligent peers to carry on this conversation. But thank you, Jake, so much and for reaching out to us. And I look forward to meeting you in person.
Cheers, Bob.
Take care. God bless. Bye-bye. See you guys.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, Jake, I think Bob covered a lot of it, but the last two things I would say on this last question, and I've kind of touched on it before, is technology and artificial intelligence. And this is coming from the tech space and helping to have developed some of that technology and seeing where it's going. We have to integrate artificial intelligence into particularly on the data, EMIS, energy management information system side, because if we don't, or any company that does not, will very quickly become obsolete, or the technology will become obsolete. The other thing I would say is follow, and this is something Bob always says as well, you know, follow the money and look at where the government is spending money. And this is where, you know, depending on the politics of the time, you know, things change. But right now, I mean, there is a multi-billion dollar investment in decarbonization, and climate change reduction, electrification. And so, you know, that's a huge indicator of where the industry is going in the next 5 to 10 years. And then, as Bob said, I mean, just if you look around and see what's going on, what's happening in our environment, you know, I have a house in New Hampshire. We were just there a few weeks ago. If there are floods like I've never seen them before, in San Diego, flooding again, never seen weather like this before. It's very clear that climate change is real and it's happening. So there's the financial trends, and then there's the environmental trends that you just can't ignore. And so I think all of these things are going to impact, you know, the adoption, one, but even just the ubiquity of renewable and sustainable energy systems in the future.
Great stuff. So thank you all for obviously joining me today. Obviously, this brings us to the end of the episode. It's been obviously very insightful and fascinating to understand more about Biff Energy. I suppose your journey so far, why you guys were founded, your mission, and sort of giving an insight into that workforce management piece, and your exciting plans for the future as well. So thank you, Natalie, Jordan, and obviously Bob as well.
Thank you so much, Jake.